It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Eric Galco, owner and director of scouting for Optimum Scouting and the lead NFL draft content provider for the Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting, and you can also find at Optimum Scouting. .com. You can find his NFL draft guide, available for sale right now. Eric, thanks for joining us.
What's going on, guys? How's your brackets looking?
You know,
14-2 yesterday.
I'm so out of college basketball. I didn't even do it. First time in my life. How's yours?
I Little Rock, Arkansas, so I'm in decent shape right now.
I did as well, but strong. I didn't have Yale.
Strong. Yeah, okay. Eric, let's talk about Jared Goff here, pro day today. How much does the pro day matter in your evaluation of him as an NFL prospect?
You know, I think in my evaluation and most scouts' evaluation, it won't mean too much, but you can't underappreciate the value of these pro days when it comes to these teams deciding if they like a guy or not. And keep in mind, head coaches, a lot of GMs, even a lot of director of scouting, aren't traveling game to game to watch these guys. So these live reps mean a lot for some decision makers in the draft process. Why scouts have already kind of decided on Jared Goff probably since the combine for sure, and probably even before then, I don't know if they like him or not. Having these head coaches or offensive coordinators or quarterback coaches or GMs at that pro day, that's what's important. So I always kind of take note of which GMs and decision makers are there at the pro days. But I think overall, Jared Goff's draft stock is already determined. Teams know if they like him as a top 10 pick, more likely than not if teams like him as a mid-first round pick and where they value him at. So I think the more interesting question is which teams want a quarterback in this first round as opposed to which teams view Jared Goff as that first-round option.
Correct. And the Cleveland Browns, of course, at two, you know, looking for the face of a franchise, now have an offensive head coach and play caller in Hugh Jackson. We're definitely in play for quarterback Jared Goff throwing as we speak. Carson Wentz will be next Thursday. And I guess as Browns fans watch these pro days, take me back to 2014. And what was it about Teddy Bridgewater's pro day that was that so many people have had a bad taste in their mouth of those decision makers for Teddy to drop as far as he did after such a, what some people might call a bad pro day?
Yeah, I think a bad pro day comes down to the completion percentage, and people look at that and they see a couple drops. And the real problem with pro days in general is that these quarterbacks are expected to be 100% on these throws, or 99%. And in a game situation or at the NFL combine or better at the Senior Bowl for guys who can go there, you're not going to get that, and you don't expect that. But at these pro days, they expect perfection, and when a guy isn't perfect, they wonder what's going on. So I think Bridgewater's, you know, he's not a sexy thrower. He doesn't have an awesome release and mechanics. He doesn't have great velocity downfield. Can even kind of float a little bit, but he was successful in college on film and individual workouts because of his intuition, his timing, his anticipation of throws, not necessarily in a pro day setting. So guys like Jared Goff, who have, you know, good, not great arm strength, can really succeed there. That's why you always hear guys like Carson Wentz next week, most likely. A lot of strong arm quarterbacks always having these great pro days because they're designed for quarterbacks with great skill sets, arm talent, not necessarily guys who have great anticipation. So I think for the most part, Jared Goff's the guy who's going to win NFL teams over at the whiteboard and interviews. Yep. and showing he's an NFL-ready guy off the field and in the locker room as opposed to being a guy on the field. So regardless of the turnout of Jared Goff at his pro day, I think he'll have success. He's a great passer, very accurate guy, but overall doesn't mean too much for what his draft stock might be. The way it didn't mean too much for Teddy Bridgewater's either.
Eric, if you were the Browns, you're Sashi Brown in your first draft at number two. Both quarterbacks are on the board. Who are you taking and why?
If I'm looking for a quarterback, I think I'd rather go Carson Wentz, mostly because I trust Hugh Jackson to develop him more. I think Jared Goff's ceiling is a bit tapped out. I think he's kind of a less streaky, more consistent version of Andy Dalton, which is still a very good NFL quarterback. I think Carson Wentz's ceiling is a lot higher. You look at what Hugh Jackson did when he was in Oakland, running that Carson Palmer-based offense. That's what the upside with Carson Wentz is. But that being said, I'm the Cleveland Browns. I pass on quarterbacks, certainly in the first round, maybe in the second round, and really build a depleted roster up.
And the Cleveland Browns, as we've already said, you know, holding the number two position, if for whatever reason neither Carson Wentz or Jared Goff and Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, you know, the powers that will here in Cleveland don't essentially, you know, feel they have a franchise quarterback worthy of the number two pick, what are some of the other different directions that they can go? I know Jalen Ramsey's, you know, the can't-miss athlete, the Joey Bosa as the edge rusher, but who fits Cleveland and what they're doing here best at number two? Or do they even move back potentially?
Yeah, I think moving back is much easier said than done. I can't see a team moving to two for one of these guys. And the real value of having a top five or six pick this year is that there are five or even six, depending on which team you ask, really elite players in this class. When I say elite, I mean the class of Calvin Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Von Miller of old, those type guys. There's five or six in this draft class being Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner for some teams, Miles Jack, and Jalen Ramsey. So I think those guys are all worth top five picks, and the Browns should move out of the top five, in my opinion, to get one of those guys. If I'm the Browns at two, I think getting Jalen Ramsey does a lot for this team. I think he's a safety more than a cornerback, but I know most teams like him at corner, and the Browns have a lot of depth in the secondary, but getting one of the top talents in this draft class, I think he's a mix of an Earl Thomas and a Tyrann Mathieu, and that sounds like a bit hyperbole, but that's the kind of impact he can make as a safety or a cornerback. So I think he's the best player in this class after Laremy Tunsil, and I take him there too, but really can't go wrong with Joey Bosa either. So I think one of those three guys, Tunsil, Ramsey, or Bosa, if you get any one of those guys, it's going to make a huge difference in your franchise moving forward.
And then also, not only do we hold the second pick in the NFL draft, we also hold the first pick of the second round, the 32nd pick. What direction do you feel the Cleveland Browns can go at 32? Will there be a kind of a second-tier quarterback if they don't go quarterback early, or is there a possibility of going quarterback wide receiver at 32 and still getting a guy that can make an immediate impact?
Yeah, where they're going to value receivers, that's going to be interesting. I'm not sure what the analytics are going to say as far as where to go with receivers. Some teams feel they're not worth top, you know, two-round picks. Some teams feel they are worth that. So I'm not sure on receiver. But looking at a quarterback, there's a real chance that Jared Goff slides to the 20s. Don't be surprised if that happens. If that's the case and they like Jared Goff, they can move up and get him. I think Paxton Lynch could be there as well. I think he's a better quarterback. I think he's the best quarterback in his class, in my opinion. I think he'd be a great value if they can move up a little bit as well. But Cardell Jones is a guy, I think, in the second round, or more likely if they can get him in the third round, is a great pick for what Hugh Jackson wants to do. And I mentioned that Carson Palmer offense in Oakland, Cardell Jones fits that offense perfectly as well. So I think getting Cardell Jones or an early second-round running back would be very wise. This quarterback class isn't great in the first round, but has a handful of guys you can really develop and really not be afforded to pass on if you're the Cleveland Browns in the second, third round. I think at receiver, the value receiver is great at the top of the second round. So is offensive line if they want to go there. And so is pass rusher. They want to add to their pass rusher if they don't pick Joey Bosa in the first round. So the Browns will have plenty of options in the second round if they want to wait for a non-quarterback there.
Who do you like amongst those receivers that could be there at 32? Who stands out to you from maybe the Dotson, Fuller, Thomas group?
Yeah, I think Michael Thomas of Ohio State's going to slip a little bit. Teams have some question marks on his ability to pick up the NFL game, and there's some mental issues with him that teams are going to be worrying about if he can develop quickly. And that's a big problem with receivers. You know, receivers is an underappreciated, difficult transition for guys, and if mentally you're not there, it's hard to kind of put that stuff on the field as well. But I think he's worth still a high second-round pick to develop. The guy I like a lot, and sticking with Ohio State, is Braxton Miller. And he's ended up being our second highest-rated receiver, not because he's NFL-ready, not because he's going to be a dominant guy, because I trust him to be a Randall Cobb-like player in the NFL. He's, in my opinion, as close to his mental makeup, his work ethic, his sudden development as a receiver in just a handful of months at Ohio State, and kind of the limited use he was made at Ohio State and having a great Senior Bowl, I think Braxton Miller is a safe receiver in this class, despite being a bit of a project. I think he's worth a high second-round pick in this class. And I think if the Cleveland Browns can get him to kind of fill that Travis Benjamin role, might be better suited to go Braxton Miller than take a high upside guy like a Michael Thomas or a Josh Doctson or a Will Fuller.
When you look in the middle of this draft, are there any quarterbacks that if the Browns wanted, let's say they did pull the trigger on Goff or Wentz and they went in the middle to late rounds of the draft, any of the guys back there you think could turn out to be maybe a Kirk Cousins from this draft for them?
You know, not a whole lot. I think it's an interesting topic in the NFL right now is, are these developmental quarterbacks worthwhile to take? Is it Dak Prescott or Jacoby Brissett, two guys that have a lot of upside but need a lot of work? Are they worth it in today's NFL? We haven't seen a lot of project quarterbacks work. So if I'm the Browns, maybe stay away from those project guys, except for Cardale Jones, who's only played about eight career games in college and has really showed an ability to win games. The quarterback I'm most intrigued by, and I've heard some NFL buzz on and talking to scouts recently, graded very well in our analytics portion of our draft guide, that's Vernon Adams of Oregon. He's only a 5'10", 5'11 quarterback, has a small hand size, but remarkable mechanics, remarkable footwork, patient under pressure. Don't want to make that Russell Wilson comparison too aggressively, but he has that kind of confidence when things are off balance and the finishing ability downfield on the perimeter. I think you're looking for a third or fourth round quarterback. He's not a sexy pick. It's definitely an aggressive one, but the Browns kind of want to punt on quarterback this year and take a flyer on Vernon Adams in the mid round. I think it'd be worth a while. Maybe get a diamond in the rough like Vernon Adams, the way the Seahawks did, and Russell Wilson.
All right, Eric, tell people again where they can get your draft guide to get ready for the 2016 NFL draft, just 41 days away.
Yeah, man, we're really excited about the draft guide this year. There's 250 scouting reports. There's four analytics studies. There's four words from more NFL executives, small school big boards, regular big boards, the works, plus a supplement coming to all buyers later in the draft process, right before the draft. It's on optimumscouting.com, on the header, $9.99. You get all that stuff and the supplement as well. We've gotten great feedback from fans, from purchasers, from NFL teams, really the work in terms of who's gotten the guide. So we're really excited about it this year, and hopefully it's everything a draft fan needs before the draft weekend starts.
All right, you can follow him at Optimum Scouting. Go to OptimumScouting.com. Eric Gockel, thanks so much for the time and the insight as the Browns get ready for another draft as a Super Bowl and hopefully can find their quarterback of the future.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, you got it. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-478-0850. No, I keep saying that. 578-0850. 216-578-0850. Let's open them up. Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
For those of you, welcome back first and foremost, but for those of you who are tuned in to NFL Network right now, Jared Goff has essentially finished his workout. Pep Hamilton, lead offensive assistant, and Hugh Jackson are literally hovering over Jared Goff, squirting a Gatorade bottle filled with water all over the football and forcing Jared Goff to throw a series of routes with a wet football. So hand size, wet football, I guess you can't do. Are they going to pull out a cooler, you know, with a football in an ice chest next? I don't know. But the Cleveland Browns are leading the charge right now at Jared Goff's pro day.
I mean, as soon as his workout was done and Mike Mayock noted that he ended with four beautiful deep balls, dropped it in the bucket. Now they go ahead and took it, the ball, and as you said, squirted it, and they wanted to see him, and they had him throw a couple deep ones. They're starting the receivers about 25 yards down the field, watching him throw the deep balls with that wet ball. He's still able to put some good velocity on it, and he's throwing some good balls with it. But interesting that the Browns, and Hugh Jackson was right there, literally the second that the workout ended, Pep Hamilton now is almost conducting the workout.
Yeah. Pep's conducting the workout. Hugh walked up, made a few comments behind Jared Goff to Pep about what he wanted to see, and then backed away, and now Pep's just leading the charge.
It's very interesting to watch it. It's almost as if the Browns went in and put like kind of like their own workout in here on Jared Goff.
Well, with the onus put on finding your franchise quarterback and we've heard from Hugh Jackson.
Doing it out in front of everybody?
I don't think anybody else has a problem with your own private workout.
No, I think everybody else is liking that they're doing this.
I'm sure.
I mean, he's spraying it. Now Pep Hamilton in pursuit. Pep Hamilton's going to sack him. No, he got out. Ball right on the sideline. The receiver can't catch the wet ball. Coming in with too much mustard.
Now, what'll be interesting to see is if the same thing will happen to Carson Wentz.
If they do that with Carson Wentz.
He's got the larger hands, sure. But he's played indoor the majority of his career.
Very interesting, though, to see this. I like it. Listen, the Browns had been absent at pro days, and now they come out, throw the wet ball around. Pep liked it. Goff liked it. A lot of smiles. Hugh Jackson and Jared Goff now shaking hands, talking. Hugh saying, I like what you did right there. At least that's in my mind. That's what he said.
What I want to see is blah, 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 blah.
And there's Pep. There's Andrew Berry, Brown's senior talent evaluator, talking with him, talking to some of the receivers. Now and then the 49ers swoop in. Say, no. You come over here and you talk to us.
That's not the Niners. Those are his guys.
Those are his guys?
That's not a Niners guy. Those are his guys.
Those are his guys. Okay. Yeah. Very interesting scene there at the pro day. You want the Browns to be active and involved and getting out there. They definitely are doing it.
6 to 8 wet customized routes just for the Cleveland Browns with a wet football. And every time he received the football back, Pep Hamilton would walk up with the water bottle and re-squirt the entire football.
And he didn't wipe it.
And he was not shy of it. No. All Goff would do was wipe his own hand on his pants and would throw the wet football.
That was interesting. I've never seen it. Have you ever seen anything like that before, Gibbs?
I have not.
All right.
No, I haven't.
Well, you just got to see it, which is what you usually ask for. So there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
He threw a wet football. His hand is like an eighth of an inch bigger. Yay.
That's pretty exciting.
Clearly.
Nathan cannot control himself.
You noticed that?
I do like the fact Pep Hamilton just asserting himself in there.
Well, I like what not only Pep Hamilton, because many might not recognize Pep Hamilton, but what I love is Hugh walking up with the Browns hat on in the background.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes to show they're going to do everything they can, turn over every stone, do everything they can to be in the situation to get as much information and also the best possible player position decision for the Cleveland Browns. And they're not going to shy away from that.
No. Well, the good news, when you pick second, there's only one team that can get ahead of you.
Yeah. But hey.
So I guess they don't mind saying, look, hey, we've got some interest there in Jared Goff. 216-578-0850. Mike Mayock saying did everything he needed to do, checked off every box today. Again, these pro days are a whole lot of hullabaloo. Whole lot of hullabaloo, quite frankly.
Is that exactly what he said?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you are.
I am. Overall, that's what they are. Squirting the water on the ball. That was the highlight, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He threw some pretty nice passes with that wet ball as well. We'll see. By the way, it is blowing up right now that they wet his balls so that he could throw them. Yes. There at the pro day. I'll tell you what. I'm at the point now where I want to get to the draft. I'm ready for the draft. I want to see it. I'm almost done with this.
Has Florida State had their pro day yet?
I don't know.
Because Ohio State has. So that's the Bosa, as we talk top five picks.
Yep.
Essentially think we're in play for a left tackle or Laramie Tunsil. Okay. I mean, maybe not. Has Mississippi, has Ohio State, has Florida State, now California has, and then it would be Carson Wentz next Thursday.
Yeah, you got Wentz next Thursday, and then Lynch is what, April 6th, I want to say?
Who?
Paxton Lynch.
Yeah. So, I mean, my whole point is that the potential top five or six picks and their pro days. Because I think who and where they land within the top six might change. But it's going to be made up of – I don't think there's going to be any surprises. I mean, Leonard Williams last year was a surprise to the New York Jets, but there was no doubt that he was a top six pick in the NFL draft.
No.
My point.
And some people thought he could go number one. It was almost a surprise that he ended up going there at number six to them. I thought it was good. You know what I like? I like that these guys went out there and didn't just stand around. They wanted to accomplish something a little extra, it seemed like, at Jared Goff's Pro Day, and they did it. And I think it was – I like that they did that. I like the leadership that they took. I like Pep Hamilton starting, you know, coming out there, getting it done. I enjoyed seeing Hugh Jackson right there. And, of course, Andrew Berry looking good in there. They're out there. They're in the mix. Sashi Brown, the reason for people who want to know why Sashi isn't there, his wife, Yvonne Page, due to have their third child any day. So he couldn't be on the left coast for that.
There you go.
Family first.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
But you don't need him to be there. You got the quarterback coach.
You got the quarterback coach
and the head
there,
coach.
The head talent evaluator is there, and
three
the head coach is there.
Two of the three decision makers.
For those people that want to criticize that, like the people that you want to see the quarterback throw are there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The people that needed to be there were there. And that's what I like to see. By the way, I wonder what was wetter, those footballs after they were squirted by Pep Hamilton or Sean Miller's shirt last night while coaching the University of Arizona?
I didn't see. I only saw the wet football. Didn't see the shirt.
Mike, you don't even know what I'm talking about? Gibbs?
Do you know that they had to send an equipment manager to the hotel at halftime to get him another shirt?
Is this Googleable?
It's everywhere.
What's his name?
Sean Miller, the head coach for Arizona.
Sean Miller's shirt. Okay.
He sweated through his shirt, and it literally
looked like
a wet T-shirt contest.
Okay,
gone
I know
wrong.
Sean Miller.
It looked like he'd done the ice bucket challenge in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And that was in the first half.
Wow.
I mean, it is.
He's on something.
There was a lot of sweat, man.
He might have took a thermogenic or something like that.
I don't know, but he lost a few pounds last night.
He did. And he also lost the game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Well.
Now you got plenty of time to work on that sweat.
Get on the stair stepper. Put some towels down.
I mean, it was obscene. I wonder what was wetter than. By the way, fans on Twitter are fired up that the Browns basically took that over. They took over Jared Goff's pro day.
Hey, man, when you seek something out and you want it, go get it.
Everybody's saying solid pro day, wasn't flawless, but solid. Again, these pro days, ugh, who cares? That's what I say.
Are you really going to judge how good the pro day was?
No. Exactly. You know who had the home run pro day? Who had the two best pro days of all time?
Johnny Manziel.
And?
I don't know the other.
Jamarcus. Were like the two best pro days. You know who had a horrific pro day?
Yeah.
Theodore.
Theodore? Peyton Manning had a horrible pro day.
Okay. What is the cumulative number? I bet Teddy Bridgewater and his bad pro day has cumulatively more starts than Jamarcus Russell and Johnny Manziel combined. That's just a guess.
Who?
Teddy.
Yeah.
And his bad pro day.
Yeah.
Has more NFL starts than Johnny and Jamarcus combined.
At this point right now?
Right now.
I don't know. That'll depend on how many Jamarcus got. What did Teddy have? I mean, what did Manziel 7 starts with the Browns?
Is it 7 or 8? One of the two.
7 or 8. Now, he's Jamarcus 7 and 18 as a starter, so 25. So that's 32 combined. And Teddy didn't start until, I want to say, about week 6 of his rookie year. But after this season.
So.
After this season.
But 16 and 8? 24?
Yeah.
And Jamarcus has 25 by himself?
Yes.
Okay. Darn.
That was close, though. That was
point.
Close.
It was the point I was trying to
I
make,
I like the
though.
Point that you were trying okay. to make. No, it was a strong point that was being made. Strong point. Yeah, so he's played in 29
and one
games.
Still, and the one that had the bad pro day still has a job. How
right.
about that?
Teddy Bridgewater is 17 and 11 as a starter in the National Football League.
28.
So
it's closer than we thought.
Better than we thought. That's right. All right, well, we'll take a break. When we come back and we'll stop narrating live TV, we will go ahead and go to the Friday forecast.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we'll go now to Mike Mayock talking on NFL Network about Jared Goff's
organizations that you mentioned, the Cleveland Browns and the San Francisco 49ers. Their head coaches are here today to watch the Cal quarterback make his throws and work out in front of them. So, Mike, what are the biggest questions do you think that Jared Goff needs to answer today for those coaches and scouts?
He's not going to really answer any questions today. His all those answers are already on tape. And here's what I'll tell you will see today, okay? What you're going to see today are great feet. You're going to see a quick release. You're going to see elite arm strength. And you're going to see a quarterback that's highly accurate. And we already saw all of that on tape. What you won't see today is one of his best attributes. And for me, that's his pocket awareness. And I've talked to the Peyton Mannings. I've talked to the Tom Bradys, the Drew Breeses, and I've asked all of them, is pocket awareness innate? Or is it something you can learn? And most of them have told me, basically, you're either born with it or you're not. And that kid you're looking at right now, he has pocket awareness.
And I've had the pleasure of watching him a lot in person. And I love his resilience. And, you know, Mike, let's be honest. You actually understand what we're seeing out here. I don't, but I do remember 11 years ago being at a pro day here and watching Aaron Rodgers. And after talking to the coaches and scouts at that one, I said, it's a lock. He's going number one overall. He just put on a clinic. Turned out he went a little lower than one, but I look forward to you telling me what I actually saw, because I've seen a lot of great things in this stadium.
You see, what's intriguing about pro days, and I try to tell people this all the time, is the best quarterback pro day I ever saw was Jamarcus Russell.
There it is.
The worst pro day I ever saw was Teddy Bridgewater, and that was the only top-level quarterback who had a poor pro day. Pro days are set up. It's scripted. They've been working on the script for 4 days. He's working with his receivers. He slept in his own bed last night. Bottom line is, this kid ought to put on a show today. Anything less than that, and I'll be totally surprised.
He has a list of 69 throws that he's going to do today. That's a little bit more. We saw yesterday at Stanford 59 throws, I believe. Is that a lot?
No, it's plus or minus 70 is about the typical script. And really, Alex, what they're trying to do is they sit down with their quarterback guru, and they decide what's the best way we can show this kid in the most positive light. And what you're going to see is a combination, because
it was about 69 throws from Goff today, as Mike Mayock just noted, but then a few extra bonus ones. If you're just joining us, the Browns, Pep Hamilton, passing game coordinator for the Browns, went over there with a bottle, squirted water all over a few of the balls, and said, throw these wet balls, Jared. And that's exactly what he did to wrap up his work out there. All right, Gibbs, let's get into the Friday forecast.
Number one.
All right, guys. No kid today. I feel a little lost.
I know, it's sad.
Who is the one Browns QB drafted since 1999 that you thought was going to be a success?
I'm not going to lie, even though this cousin come from a very good place. I really thought that Brady Quinn, playing in that Notre Dame pro-style system, big, physical, solid arm, NFL pedigree with Charlie Weiss, would transition very well in the National Football League.
I'm going to agree with you. I actually, Brady Quinn was the name that came to mind. Obviously, Tim Couch you thought would be good.
I was going
to
say Couch was the other guy, yeah.
He just didn't have the pieces around him. Brady Quinn I thought was going to come in and be successful. I remember at the time that the Browns drafted him at 22 that it was seen as a big coup and people were very, very excited to have him here and people thought he would be a success and just never panned out.
And that was well beyond, you know, him just being Cleveland. An Ohio kid in Cleveland and so on and so forth.
Number two.
If the Browns took only one quarterback in the draft and it wasn't one of the big two, would you be okay with it as a Browns fan?
I would.
And the reason why is because as of right now, and I have no reason not to, I believe thus far in Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown, and Pep Hamilton, and Andrew Berry. And there's a reason why if they don't.
Again. Would I cry? No. Would I be bummed out a little bit? But I have full belief in what Sashi and Paul and Andrew Berry and Hugh Jackson are doing. So if that was the way they went to go, I think that it's not like what just because I think Jared Goff's going to be good that it's like written in stone that he's going to be good. So I'll trust those guys.
That's your take on most things that you like agree with. So
what, that they're written in stone?
Yes. And that it's like a foregone conclusion
it's
that
fact,
you are right.
Obviously. Yeah. Allen Robinson. Theodore.
Number three.
Where do you rank St. Paddy's Day as a holiday?
I'm so much more, and my wife is as well, and she made this statement yesterday, and I completely agree with her. We are so much more Cinco de Mayo people
we
are St. Paddy's Day people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any Irish blood bubbling through my veins.
I do. I'm a 16th.
There you go. Thank yours. You. That's 16th that Jared Goff got on his hand size today, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry, an 8th. But no.
2 16ths.
I don't know. Christmas, Halloween, Easter, 4th of July, Cinco de Mayo.
4th of July is my birthday.
Then you can say St. Paddy's Day.
Give me Christmas, give me New Year's, give me Halloween,
give me
Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Drinko, give me 4th of July, give me Thanksgiving, give me anything.
Memorial Day? I'll take Memorial Day over St. Paddy's
Day. I do enjoy St. Paddy's Day.
Yes, absolutely. It's midsummer. It's time to get crazy.
Yeah, but like St. Paddy's Day signifies like spring and summer are right around the corner. Like in some ways, it is the end of winter, in my opinion.
What is?
St. Paddy's Day.
Oh. Okay.
You know, it's like, all right, we're starting to get some days where it's in the 50s and 60s, and, you know, the snow is a little less prevalent, even though it's supposed to snow on Sunday, and I'm going to be extremely angry when that happens, just because I want to play golf this weekend.
The
end is near in terms of the sun not appearing for months at a time.
This is true.
Number four.
All right, guys, final question today. Give me one underdog left in the NCAA tournament that will surprise everyone and make the Sweet 16.
I'm going to go with – Nathan's not going to choose one. Gibbs, did you see your text?
No.
Okay. Check your text message. So Nathan does not have one to choose, so it's going to be me and you. Okay. I'm going to go with
– I better get a bracket out.
You know what? I'll pull mine out. I'm originally thinking Wichita State. I'm going to go either Wichita State or I'm going to go with the traditional VCU, who is, again, slightly at halftime right now by 8 over Oregon State. VCU, Wichita State.
I think Wichita State could definitely be there. I wouldn't be surprised the way they played yesterday if Little Rock gets another win and bounces Iowa State.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Iowa State at all.
I know. I'm not either.
I know everybody's picking against my Dukies.
Gonzaga beat Seton Hall up pretty good yesterday. Who do they have in the next round?
Let me look here.
Because they're a traditional small school, you know, that always does well, makes the tourney.
Yeah, I feel like that if Hawaii can get past California today, they might give Maryland some fits.
Yeah. You know what? But Maryland's been in the top 10 this year.
Yeah.
You know, so when they can play well, I think they can be scary. I think I might even have them making the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Gonzaga rolled Seton Hall yesterday.
Yeah, and Seton Hall won the Big East, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they get Utah. Very winnable game for the Zags.
Very winnable game. I truly believe the X factor for any of the, I'll say, 7-plus ranked teams in the NCAA tournament, the X factor is the team that shoots the three better. Because I think talent will prevail for the Kentuckys, the Carolinas, the A&Ms, the Kansases of the world, the Oregons. Talent will prevail, and they're, you know, those. That's why everyone picks them to make the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. The teams that shoot the three well are the teams that can knock off one of those top teams.
Yeah, I think once you get to the Sweet 16, it's going to be chalk, though. I just think the top teams are just going to rise to the top, and that's going to be the end of it. I mean, the only team that outside of that number one or number two seed that I could see making a run to the Final Four would be Kentucky.
Yeah, because they're truly more of a two or three seed.
Yeah.
They just had a couple bad losses.
Well, that was the committee putting everything together before, you know, before they watch Kentucky play and win the SEC.
Right. Is that the last one?
That's it, buddy.
That's it. Well, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Hopefully we get our partner in crime back. And you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, wrapping it up for the week here.
Well, you sound refreshed.
On CBD. Had some business.
Bounce in your stuff.
You look a little skinny in your face.
Had a little business had to attend to. Thank you.
We held it down.
Good. I'm glad you guys did. No KD watch today.
Mine. Friday, the last. You didn't miss much with the last question.
What was the last question?
It was what like lower seeded team would
somebody
you?
Somebody said guessing that Nathan's girl was on KD watch during the last segment. Yeah, but I was back in like 5 minutes.
Well, that's only because you had to be. Like if you didn't have to be, would you?
We'd have been all right. Gibbs and I could have held it down. We're gonna have to hold it down when you're on spring break.
Yeah,
it'll be me and Donovan.
I got one more week until spring break.
Me and Jim are going to hold it down.
Yes.
We might even have Tony Grossi on. That'll
be
something. Tony and loves Jim.
Yeah.
Loves me. Loves coming on with us. Come on.
I don't know if he loves you.
It's fine. Ask him.
Ask him.
It'd be great.
Yes. All right, so Jared Goff had his pro day. In 6 days, it will be the pro day of Carson Wentz. And then after that, you're going to get Paxton Lynch, and then we'll be done, hopefully, with this. By the way, there's a great article written by Andrew Gribble about the quarterbacks in the NFL. It's at clevelandbrowns.com and, of course, on the Browns mobile app. It did have some interesting stuff in it. Numbers to know. 20 of the top 32 quarterbacks in passing yardage to finish the 2015 regular season were first-round picks. 20 of the 32 quarterbacks that finished in the top 32 in passing yards last year were first-round picks. Now, of the quarterbacks who were taken as the first quarterback in their respective draft classes, 10 up to 10 of them, the only ones that haven't panned out, E.J. Manuel, Jamarcus Russell, and Vince Young. That's it.
There could be a there very well could be another name added to that list, right?
Who?
You're saying that the top what pick?
The first whoever just was the first quarterback taken in their respective draft if they were taken in the first round.
Quarterback taken. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 of the 32 quarterbacks in that same group of last year were the first quarterback taken in their draft class.
Got you.
16 were quarterbacks selected in the first round since 2010. So obviously, you got to get the guy early. You got to do it. Did you know that the number of traditional Cleveland drafts went without taking a quarterback in the first round from 1970 to 1999? It was 24 years, and that was from Mike Phipps to Tim Couch. The Browns did, however, fork over a first-round pick when they took Bernie Kosar in the supplemental draft. Since then, the Browns have not taken a quarterback since Tim Couch with their first-round pick.
And what were the three quarterbacks taken? Again, go back and reference the three names again. Jamarcus Russell.
What names? From what?
The
that didn't pan out?
Yes.
E.J. Manuel, yes. Jamarcus Russell, and Vince Young.
Okay. Got it.
So there it is. There it is. Interesting stuff. Check it out, Sir Andrew Gribble.
Good stuff,
and company
Gribbs,
there. Yes.
As always.
Good stuff. Jared Goff apparently is now giving an interview right now, and he said, on his sudden hand growth, they got me a new measuring tape that's made for small-handed people. What a great answer to this. That's fantastic.
Does it make you like him more when he says stuff like
how
that?
How could I like him more?
This is true.
Jared Chalfant says, if the Browns take Goff, will we get a hammer-like reaction from you? Absolutely not. You might get a fist pump. You might get me. I'm going to go try to get a Jared Goff helmet.
For what?
The basement. Maybe a jersey to throw up next to the old Matt Wilhelm 57.
We'll see.
We will see. We will see indeed. So the pro days hopefully will come and go. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just absolutely ready for the draft to happen.
We're like this every year, though. Last year we had two picks, and there were so many more different directions we could have gone.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, a month from now,
there's still 41 days.
You guys won't even
days.
Want to talk about quarterbacks. You're going to be like, I don't want to talk about this on today's show.
Yeah.
Because I put together the rundown, and then you go into the whole, I hate the draft, and why can't the draft just come, and I don't have anything else.
And that's
say.
Why, like, for me personally today, just talking, that's why I found it interesting to talk to the Michigan State guy, because the conversation expounded for me went beyond just Connor Cook, beyond a quarterback, right? Because I know those guys. I know D'Antonio and his sister. It's like we're going to hear from every draft guy under the sun in the next 40 days. And they're all going to say something very similar yet totally different.
Yeah, yes. The good news is the Browns players report April 4th. So that'll be right after I get back from my trip. So basically in a week we'll have the Browns players back here. And we'll get the first look at this team getting together with
Probably still have none of them on the show.
I hope we do. You know who popped in today to say hello to us?
Big
Gibbs.
Play.
Who?
Gare.
Big Play Gare.
Barnage back in town?
He's got an appearance out in Youngstown.
He jacked a box of the Thin Mints that Gianna, my daughter, had sold to Nathan to support her troop. And Big Play Gare copped a box of the Thin Mints.
He said it's going to make his ride to Youngstown that much better.
There it is.
Back from Egypt, looking very tan. Big Play Gare came in and met with Mr. Seaman,
looked
the tight
lean.
End coach. He did look lean. I wonder if that's what, like, eating Egyptian food.
Got to run that seam route in this offense, bro.
You got to be able to get down there.
That Eifert route.
Tyler Eifert. 800 touchdowns in the red zone last year. Oh, the kid made an appearance. Good. He did show up after all. Thanks, kid. Yeah, Big Play Garrett was in the house today. He's fired up. Now, he's got to make it back, you know, April 4th. The first day is, of course, the day after WrestleMania. So he's going to have to get back here in time for that. So there we go.
Are you going to WrestleMania?
I am not this year.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not this year.
What's that all about?
The long, convoluted story. But I'm not this year. I'll be back.
Where is it?
I'll be back
Orlando.
Next year in Orlando.
Next year.
This
Orlando.
Year's in Dallas. Jerry
okay.
World.
Oh,
which I would have loved to have gone.
One?
Yeah.
Jeez. And you call yourself a wrestling fan. I might go.
That would be hilarious,
not,
actually. If
that
you
would,
should go. Big Play Gare's going. He's got a contest.
I'll text Jerry the King Lawler. He'll get me a ticket right behind him.
I don't know about
ringside.
WrestleMania. He won't do that.
Oh, come on. You don't know the King and I.
I know WrestleMania.
Well, you don't know the King and I.
Okay. All right.
Either that or Big Show.
Why didn't you come out and see him when Raw was here then?
Yes, man. It's not. It wasn't a big enough stage
WrestleMania
for me to make
Super
my
Bowl.
Appearance.
What about Fastlane? That was a pay-per-view.
So what?
All right. All right. All right. Well, hope everybody has a great weekend, Gibbs.
Does WrestleMania have more viewers than Fastlane?
Oh, yeah.
And Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the biggest show of the year. It's the granddaddy of them all. The showcase
of the
immortals.
Why would I go to anyone but WrestleMania?
How many WrestleManias have you been to?
More than you can count.
Pretty sure I'm capable of counting to one because you're at zero right now. I'm pretty sure. That one, I will say, is set in stone. Gibbs, I hope you take this weekend to recover. Don't kill yourself.
I'm going out again tonight, and I'm going out tomorrow.
Where are you going out tonight?
I'll be in Lakewood.
Okay.
Stop by O'Toole's.
On the corner?
Yeah, right by St. Ed's.
The old Paninis?
No.
That's a different one. O'Flannery's or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
O'Toole's. Okay,
O'Toole's
right
over by St. Ed's.
I got
it's
it.
Is, that, is it on the corner of Know Your Role Boulevard and Jabroni Drive?
Ooh, very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great band playing tonight. Come check out Billy Likes Soda.
And, that's the band, Billy yeah. Likes Soda?
Billy yeah. Likes Soda? My buddy, Gibbsy like beer.
I got a couple buddies that are one's a drummer, one's a lead singer, and I'll be out there. So
Will you make an appearance on stage? That's all I need to know. If you're in with Flynn like the band, will you be on stage at any point?
There's always that possibility.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear.
Hey, yeah. can what's your favorite soda?
Who are you talking to?
All of us.
I got to go Orange Crush with a second by Grape Crush because I do love grape.
Me and you were the same.
It's cute.
That's awesome.
My new favorite, for whatever reason, and I'm not much of a pop drinker, is Coke Zero.
Oh, you and the kid. The kid sucks down Coke Zero. My summer like booze and drink is vodka and Diet Crush or Diet Sunkist. Delicious.
I hop on the team plane. I always get a Grape Crush.
Well, I'm not going to say this.
Oh, really?
On the radio.
Okay, good. All right. We want to thank Eric Galco for being with us today. We want to thank Hondo Carpenter for being with us today. We want to thank Jared Goff for having his hands grow and putting on quite a show at Pro Day there. And, of course, Hugh Jackson speaking. We got to thank Pep Hamilton for wetting the balls. And we want to thank all of you for listening. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Jason Gibbs and Matt Wilhelm,
and
I'm Nathan Zagura.
And the ball wetting process in general.
The BWP, as it's known in the industry. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.